We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Secretary, you're one of a couple of people looking at a run for lieutenant governor next year. Cumberland Mayor Daniel McKee, also a Democrat, is looking at it. And maybe one of these years, Warwick Mayor Scott Avedisian will pursue a different office. How do you think you stack up against these guys? What makes you the preferable candidate if each of those other gentlemen were to run?
Well, I mean, I think that I'm going to bring a lot of experience, both from the mayor's office and the Secretary of State's office, into a job that I think can make a difference. Whether it's my small business background and accomplishments as Secretary of State, my executive experience as mayor, and the ability or willingness to want to work with the next governor to really make a difference. I hope that separates me from other candidates, although the other names you mentioned I think are extremely worthy candidates. Being a former mayor, I respect the job they do in their respective cities and towns.
What would you point to as your top two or three accomplishments during your almost 8 years as Secretary of State?
What we've done is small business. That would be accomplishment number one. Right now, you can file online, you can renew online. We have an annual We Mean Business Expo that has turned out to be extremely successful. So I think that is everything we've done to help small business in Rhode Island is one of our greatest accomplishments, but I want to build on that.
And yet, despite what you've done, our economy remains arguably the worst in New England. Where do we go from here?
Well, there's a lot we can do. One of the things, I think there's a plan that we can use to fix it, and that is just look at the rankings where we don't do well. They're actually telling us what we can fix. There's a lot of things we do well, and we should build on that. But when someone's saying you're 49th in this category and 50th in this category, we should focus on fixing those areas.
Specifically?
Well, specifically the regulations that we have in the state of Rhode Island to actually open up a business and the hoops that you have to go through, whether it's a local city or town in the state, that is incredibly an obstacle for anybody who wants to come to Rhode Island. Our tax structure needs to be changed. It's
How do you
advantageous.
Do that? Like, for instance, do you want to lower the sales tax? Do you want to broaden it out in the bottom?
We need to do something. I wouldn't say necessarily just that's the one area, but without question, we should broaden it and lower it. And not repeating what you said, but I've been in favor of that from day one. I mean, when you have your neighboring cities and states charging a less sales tax than you do, that's an obstacle. But I really think we need to focus on regulation reform. And one of the things that we need to do as elected officials is reach out to small businesses, as I've done, and ask, what can we do to make your life easier? What can we do to attract small business in Rhode Island?
You switched your position when you were running for re-election in 2010 to oppose the master lever. The power for doing away with that really rests with the legislative leadership. But what do you think about this idea from moderate Ken Block that putting the master lever at the bottom of the ballot might help to de-emphasize its influence? Would you support that?
I wouldn't, for two reasons. Number one, we need to remove the master lever. So while that may be a compromise, once you do that, getting rid of the master lever is going to be that much more difficult. Number two, confusion. The people of Rhode Island, I think 20% of the people use that that master lever. They're not using it the way we think they are. They're not using it and then walking away. They're using it as almost a poll question and then voting after that. To have it at the end could be somewhat confusing. So I'm going to have to come out against that only because I think the best solution is to get rid of the master lever.
And if Speaker Fox and Senate President Paiva, we don't want to get rid of the master lever, what can be done to eliminate it?
Well, I think you just have to, the same thing we did with voter ID. I introduced the law three times before it actually got passed. You don't quit. You explain its good points. You show how it can work. You say, let's give this a try, and if it doesn't work, we'll go back. And, you know, voter ID in a Democratic state with a Democratic speaker and a Democratic Senate president, that took a lot of work. Getting rid of the master lever will take as much work.
What do you think the master lever really does? I understand the confusion aspect of it, but some people talk about this as a panacea for all the state's wrongs. I mean, it's not going to change the world, is it?
No, absolutely not. But it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be gone. But no, it is not a panacea for everything that's wrong in Rhode Island. But we do need to change it. It's confusing. It's actually a poll question. Are you a Democrat, Republican, or moderate? For those people that do use it right, they're not answering the questions on the back of the ballot. They're not voting in nonpartisan races. There's just no reason for the master lever right now.
We know there's this thing called the permanent campaign, and lobbyists are a part of that. Lobbyists are always at the State House when the General Assembly is in session. Your office has some responsibility in terms of having details on your website about who lobbyists are working for. But should the state be doing more to counterbalance the power of lobbyists?
Well, I think there's really two ways to look at that. Lobbying or lobbyists do have a very vital role in government. There are lobbyists out there who are speaking for things that are good for Rhode Island, that are good for government, that are speaking for people who don't have a voice. But as long as we have transparency in government, as long as they are registered, as long as we know what they are there for, as long as you're able to track the money, follow the money, and find out where contributions are going, people are well aware who's doing what. And as long as we're doing that and are extremely transparent, lobbyists do have a role in government.
We're talking here with Secretary of State Ralph Mollis, and let's go back to Scott.
What do you think of this? I call it a stunt, but this fundraising thing that your friends in the Republican Party are doing, where they're actually raffling off a semi-automatic rifle to raise money.
Can't think of anything more insensitive at this point. And again, it's not the fact that they're raffling off a rifle.
It could be a deer rifle.
Right, exactly. For instance, could be a hunting rifle.
Deer season's coming up.
That's exactly right. But they're raffling off what I believe that is noted as an assault rifle. That's what the AR stands for. It's also very similar, if not identical, to the weapon that was used in our neighboring Newtown, Connecticut. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There's so many different ways to fight for our right to bear arms and raffle off rifles that we actually can use and should be using and not something like this. I don't understand it.
You say you'll put a question on the 2014 ballot allowing voters to go ahead with a constitutional convention in 2016 if legislative leaders don't pursue that. Why do you plan to do that, and why does it matter?
Well, two reasons. First, the law is very clear that every 10 years we should have that option for the people to vote on. We've had it in 84, 94, 2004. I don't want to be the first Secretary of State to make the people of Rhode Island wait more than 10 years. But in addition, it is a very exciting concept. This is the opportunity for Rhode Islanders to look at our blueprint and decide how they want to change our government runs. I mean, I'm very excited about it. I hope it does pass, unlike the last two elections.
There's also the chance that it could create a lot of mischief. I look back at the 80s, and all that came out of that really was an anti-abortion constitutional amendment that ended up getting voted down 2-1 by the people.
Actually, I could be wrong, but I think the 84 Constitutional Convention, which was then on the 86 ballot, actually created the Ethics Commission. It also started the dialogue, although it was defeated, on four-year terms for general offices and term limits. So I think we can change government. Perfect example of something we've talked about informally is the lieutenant governor and governor running together. That could come out of a constitutional convention.
You know, Secretary, I have to laugh sometimes when people in Rhode Island or Massachusetts say that politics is the local sport. As we know, very few people actually pay attention to government, and the percentage of people who vote is not that great. What can be done to involve more people as citizens and to get them to vote?
Well, I mean, I think we need to continue some of the things that I've been excited about that we've been doing, from voters in the workplace. We're in many many large corporations at their lunchtime, registering them to vote and encouraging them to vote. We visited every single high school and college, university in Rhode Island to try to get young people to vote. We've seen it work. 2008, we had a record-setting election. We have more people registered now than any time before in our state's history. We need to let them know that every vote does count, that we've had elections in this state resolved by one vote. So to please get out there, and it's up to us to promote that.
William Sam Bento knows that.
Exactly right.
The state representative from Pawtucket. One thing I did notice, Mr. Secretary, is that there looks like there might be a glimmer of hope in the most recent data out of your office on folks starting new businesses. Mm-hmm. It seems it's up slightly over the last couple of years. What do you make of this?
That's exactly right. We've seen this trend actually for the last couple of years, a slow trend. So we're not seeing this rapid progress, but sometimes that's the best way to get out of a bad economy is slow and steady. I think there's two things. I really believe that there's some confidence right now where people realize that 3, 4, 5 years from now, there may be a strong opportunity there and sort of start the business now. But in addition, when you see people who are unemployed, that is the best time for them to try to use their resources, their great ideas, and realize that we in our office can help you open up a business. So take your idea and run with it, and we've been there to help. I hope that has some effect on it.
Some of the state archives that are supervised by your office are on a building in Westminster Street in downtown Providence. Are you concerned that those archives could be damaged if we see a flood hit downtown?
Not damaged, but I'm very concerned the fact that people don't get to see them. That's been something I've been talking about for 7 years. When you walk into the state house, we now have a brand new charter room. We were starting to not only promote our new royal charter, but also taking our historic documents out of Westminster Street and starting to show Rhode Islanders what you should be so proud of. It is a difficult place to visit. We encourage them, but I'd love to see that move to a museum at some point.
So no matter what you do for small business or what you try to do, the federal sequester, the government shutdown, if there's a default, that really is going to mean more for our economy than anything your office does, right?
No doubt about it, but we still have to play our role. We still have to let Rhode Islanders know that we can help them open up a business. It's a great place to start. We call it our First Stop Business Information Center. And if you're looking to open up a business, we should be your first stop. I promise you, you'll walk away and realize that the intimidation, the bureaucratic red tape, and the difficulty is taken away when you sit with us.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Secretary of State Ralph Mollis, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.